There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks Lycee. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us say, tear that old lighthouse down, for the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
All right, thank you, Nick. We are back in the book of Proverbs. We've been in Proverbs for quite a while now. Fact of the matter is, to be real honest with you, we could probably be in Proverbs a really long time if we wanted to. There's just so much in Proverbs, and so much of it is cross-referenced or illustrated throughout the entire Bible, and so you could really take a lot at it. We've been doing it by subject matter, and the subject matter we've chosen for the last few weeks is, I call it just good advice. It's not really advice when God tells you to do it, you know. Sometimes people give you stuff, it's advice. But if someone in authority gives you something, it's not advice, it's kind of a command. So we're calling it good advice, and we're at part six tonight. We've won over the first 3 points. And last week we talked about we must be diligent to guard our affections and emotions so that we can make proper decisions in the most important areas of life. Let's move on to number four tonight. Very important. Following our own plan and path. Following our own plan and path almost always turns out bad. I'm probably being nice there by saying almost always. I probably just ought to say it turns out bad. That's the liberal in me though, right? Almost always turns out bad. We're going to read two verses. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 16. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What's the difference? One word, which and that. Basically, it's the same verse. I learned early on, someone very early on in my Christian life pointed this out, that when God says something just one time in the Bible, it's a command. You follow it, period. But if something is repeated in the Bible, it's not on accident. It's not like sometimes when children will write a book report. You know, I want to tell you about this book that I read. It was really, really, really good. And I really enjoy. You know what that means? They're counting their words. That's 10 out of 500. They're just throwing stuff in there, right? How many of you got book reports like that, right? I remember we went to college. When I was in college one year and we had to go to a funeral. They would have us go to funerals just to observe it because you're in the pastoral class. And we went to the funeral and you had to just write a report about it. And we had one guy in the class. He was not the, you know, I mean, he was a good guy. So he's writing his report and he goes, and he's just telling everything that happened. And he said, then the next thing. The soloist sang Beulah Land. It went like this. And he quoted like all four verses of Beulah Land. Now, the problem was, number one, that's not what the teacher was looking for. Number two, he only sang two verses, okay? And so, but filler, God's not giving us filler material here. This is an important principle in the Bible. And if you look everywhere in the Bible, it's important. It's like I heard a pastor say one time, when my mom said do something, she meant one time, she meant she wants it done. When she said it a second time, that means she wants it done now. But if she called me a third time, that meant it was too late to do it, right? Wish we had parents like that nowadays. Three strikes, you're out. It should be one strike, you're out. But God is telling us here very clearly by mentioning it that if we do our own thing, if we follow the own path that we think is best, and it seems like that's the best course of action for us, it leads to terrible and dire consequences. I want to share a couple thoughts with you as we understand this verse. I think you have some blanks here for this one. All of us follow a path of life. And we must under three things about the path we follow. Okay? Just three little thoughts. There are two paths that we can choose from. That's everywhere in the Bible. Jeremiah 21 and verse number 8. And unto the people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life. The way of death. Jeremiah talking to the people and the Babylonian army was coming in there, said, listen, I've set before you can have two ways. You can do your own thing, which will lead to death, or you can do exactly what I tell you to do in this situation, and you will escape with your life. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. As the people were getting ready to go into the promised land, God said to them, said, listen, you have a choice when you go in. You can either follow my way and do what I said, and if you do, you will experience the blessings I have for you. Or you can do your own thing and disobey me. And God several times in the law book said, kind of in a general sense, like I know you are, and you're going to experience the curses that come with disobedience. But there's a choice. Deuteronomy, see, I have set before thee this day life and good. Death and evil. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We would know these verses well. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we have a choice. We can either have destruction or we can have life. So the first thing is there are always two paths we can choose from. Positive, negative, really just boil it down, good and evil. Yep. Next bullet, and you must make a choice as to what path you take. You've got to make a choice, okay? You have to. If you don't make a choice, then by default, you have chosen. You've chosen the worst path. Well, I just won't choose. I'll just be ignorant. No, you can't do that, okay? You either choose what is right, or you don't choose, or you choose that which is wrong. They're both technically the same. Look at Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, God's saying, they're going to have to choose. Therefore, why don't you choose the right thing? Both thou and thy seed may live. And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 30, By the way, we talked one of the Sundays about replacement theology, which is gaining some ground. Really, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 to 30, that'll kind of get rid of that belief system anyhow. Okay, God says that he knows his people are going to choose wrong, but eventually God will bring them back into the fold. But he's saying here, look, you have to make a choice. And God's laid it out for us very clearly. And he's offering rewards if we make the right choice. And then Joshua chapter 24, verse we know well. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, sometimes people are like, how come when you do stuff like Next Step Sunday and what stuff like that, you pass out commitment cards? Well, let's make it simple. I'm not going to challenge you to do something and not give you an opportunity to respond to the challenge, right? When I asked my wife to marry me, I didn't say, now, you know, will you marry me and get back to me whenever you want? It's kind of like, sister, let's seal the deal right here. This is the best deal you're ever going to get. Let's just double down, okay? Just kidding. I don't know why you're laughing. I don't mind when you laugh. I do mind when my wife laughs, because that means she's, anyhow. All right, so you must make a choice. And then here's the last thing, and we got to understand this. There is only one correct choice to make. Amen. There's only one. Sorry. When it comes to the choices that God gives us in life, you have two options. You're going to choose right or you're going to choose wrong. Now, that's not popular in our society. We want everybody to have their choice and whatever they choose is best for them. But I have to tell you this, that's not true. There's only one choice. Jesus said it very clearly. Jesus said unto them in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say, I am a way, one of many. I am a truth, one of several. I am a life, one of many you can choose that's correct. He said the. There's one. There is only one correct way. This is where people get upset in church. If you come in and you preach the truth at all, some people are going to say, look, we have people here. We have our big friend day every year, and we'll have several hundred adult visitors here. So we always preach the gospel. Remember one lady that someone invited, she came to my class, and so we were following up that week and sent her an email thanking her for being here, and she emailed me back. It was not good. It was not good at all. She did not like the fact that I actually believed there was only one way to heaven. Okay? Now, fact of the matter is she's mad at me, but she can get mad at me, but really she's mad at God. I remember one time, and it wasn't my message. I was teaching Sunday school class, and I just mentioned how that when Adam and Eve got together, God called their name Adam. And I just kind of threw out that it's biblical for the lady to take the man's last name. Monday morning, very early, I got an email from a lady in my class, and she was very terse. She goes, where is that in the Bible? And she signed her name with a hyphen. I didn't argue with her. I just said, thanks for asking. And I got the verse for her, and I sent the verse for her, and she just responded back, thank you. Okay? Now, again, that's not as big a deal, but people don't like it when we say there's only one truth. The fact of the matter is, there is. Now you say, how can we be so bigoted as to think that there is only one correct belief system, there is only one truth? Well, if it was just me saying it, I would agree with you. It could be bigoted. Because, I wish my wife wasn't listening to this, I'm not always right. Okay? But we know there's only one truth because we didn't give that truth. God gave the truth. And when God gives the truth, he has the right and he has the authority to say, this is how it is, and we have to kind of just take it. We are taught that our choice, no matter what we make, our society would say our choice is the right choice because we have the right to choose it. And if that's the choice we want, and we feel it is right, and it's right for us, then it is right, and no one has an authority or have the right to say that they're wrong. That's not correct. Think of it. a man, because of a very terrible Supreme Court decision, can now marry a man. And he can say, that's right for me. And that works for me. Oh, there's two things about that. Number one, that's not true. But number one, just because he chooses to do that doesn't make it right. It's wrong. That's by the authority of Scripture. And by the way, it's pretty, and anybody that had a that could think it through knew this would happen. Once that followed through, what was the very next thing that happened? Transgenderism. You can choose whether you're a boy or a girl. Okay? You can't. I love that little phrase they use. I don't identify with the gender that I was assigned with at birth. Listen, when my kids were born, we didn't look at them and say, okay, let's flip a coin. Oh, tails, you've been assigned a girl. There was other ways we figured it out. Okay? We knew boy or girl. Fact of the matter is, most of them we knew before they were ever born. But you can choose. Listen, you can, if you're a guy, you could go wear a dress. Why in the world you would want to? It'd be on me. You can act like a girl and do that. But listen, you're not a girl. It's, the truth is there. Biologically, you are. And we do that with not just those silly things like that. We do it with everything in our life. I just choose what I want. And it seems right to me. But if there is a God, we know that there is a right and there is a wrong. There is, it's, and by the way, when it comes to some of the more practical aspects of life, it's very easy for us to choose our own way because we all think that we're always right. You hear about the lady, she goes, you know, my mother told me when I get married, I should marry Mr. Right, and I did marry Mr. Right. Only I didn't know his first name was Always, right? Yeah. And so we always think we're right, or in our mind, we can sometimes sugarcoat it and make it to where we think it's right, even though deep down we may know it's wrong. Because we think we're always right and that we don't need to be told what to do, we choose our own way and our own path. That can come at a great cost. I read a story in Washington State near Stevens Pass. It's some of the best extreme ski conditions. And there were some folks that extreme skiers that love it, but it's a little bit dangerous. In 2012, a dozen skiers went to ski there. The conditions were very dangerous, but they decided that they would go anyhow. It was one of these places off the beaten track and not really designed for it. They just do it. They became involved in a terrible avalanche, and all of those skiers that went were killed, and some of them were professionals. The wife of one of them that was killed was asked her husband that morning that if it was really safe conditions for them to go in, and he answered, of course it is. I wouldn't be going if it wasn't. Obviously, he was wrong. Obviously, he was making decisions based on what he felt was best. And he didn't have all the information. Studies show that people regularly underestimate danger and overestimate their ability to handle it. Years ago, we were at the couples retreat, and there was a cup there, and it was a coffee cup. And it had a little, you know, they had the funny phrase, and it said, "Every trip with the hospital always begins with the phrase, 'Hey, dude, watch this.'" Okay, isn't that how we are? The bad things happen to other people, but we always think we know what's right. We need to be careful. Now, the same is true in our spiritual path that we choose to take in life. We like to do what we want to do. And if we're not following God close enough to make sure that despite what we feel like doing, that we do the thing that is right, that God would want us to do, we get ourselves in trouble. The reason that something can seem, something that ends up being so wrong can seem so right to us, and this is important, is because we can only see it from a limited perspective. We don't have the foresight to see everything. I like the little phrase there. There is a way which seemeth right. Now, God didn't say it was right, but it just seemed right. Nobody makes a decision thinking this is a bad decision. This is just not going to turn out, but it's just what I have to do. No, what the things we do, it always seems like the right thing to do, particularly when we make that decision in the moment. And if we do that, we can get ourselves in trouble. He also said, it seemeth right unto a man. Because we are just men, our perspective can be influenced by our emotions, our sinful desires, our wrong attitudes, or other individuals. That's a problem. We can be influenced by our own emotions. We can be influenced by outside pressures. Maybe a wrong attitude, pride, or whatever it is. And so based on that, we'll make a decision, what we think is best, but yet we really didn't have everything we need to make the right decision. Now, if you're talking about what to make for dinner, have at it, okay? As long as it's not fish or eggplant, it's probably a good choice. That's not life-changing, unless you eat rat poison. We're talking about the things of life, the things we're choosing to do. Man can be deceived. We must understand that. God very specifically told Adam and Eve, don't, you can eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Just one you can't. You imagine if we had a law book in this country and there was only one law. That's it. Just one. And it was like, you know, 65 miles an hour. That'd be one we all break, right? Just one. And Satan got her so confused, she didn't look at the one. She was, he's restrictive and all this. And she was so confused. And then she started looking at the tree, and now she wasn't listening to what God said. She was letting her eyes take over. She was letting her feelings take over. She was letting her emotions take over. And that has happened over and over and over in the history of mankind. Why would David, with multiple wives, you know, take Bathsheba? Spur of the moment. Not doing what he should have been doing. Saw something he should not have seen. Made a reactionary decision to check out who she was and have her come up. All these little seemingly small decisions led to a very tragic and horrific event. But because he wasn't, he let what was going on in the moment make that decision. And we need to be careful. We also make bad decisions and follow our own path because without God's help, we cannot see where our decisions are taking us. You know, the Bible talks about prudence in Proverbs. That's being able to look at a situation based on what's going to happen down the road. You know, here's a guy and a girl, they're at work and they're both married to other people. And, you know, that maybe they have to have some correspondence or some connections back and forth because of work. And usually the guy's the idiot. He makes some flirtatious little thing jokingly. And instead of the lady's warning signs going up telling him to drop dead. By the way, if someone at your work or someone like that says something and it's inappropriate, tell them to drop dead. That didn't go over very well. But they're, I don't care. It's your boss. Tell him to drop dead. Just say, okay, I'll let my husband know. But so they start, all these seemingly little small things come. And now they've got themselves into some horrific situation because they're not getting God's help on the thing and they're not understanding it. You don't even mess around. I like Joseph's philosophy. Potiphar's wife grabbed his jacket, and he says, you like it so much, it's yours. I'm out of here. By the way, he knew it would cost him, but he was willing to do it. Now, let me give you a couple thoughts in the few minutes we have left. How can we make sure we are not following our own path? Now, I would say Thursday night crowd, you guys are the cream of the crop, so you know you're here because you have some desire for God. By the way, I've seen people with great desire for God make horrific mistakes. Yes, sir. Get off the path and get on the path that leads to death. How can we avoid that? Well, first and very simply, follow God's word in your life. That's really simple. You say, how do I know what decision I'm supposed to make? Very simple. If God says this is what you're supposed to do, the decision has been made for you. Okay? You know, it's like our children in our house, especially the younger they are, there's certain things they can and cannot do. Decisions, they don't need, it's not their decision. You know, you're living here, you don't stick your finger in a light socket. You don't do some of these other, we don't do that. That's what we do here. You're my house, I make the rules, it's my decision, not yours. Well, I just think when you get your own place, okay? My house, my rule. God, look, it's very simple. You say, I want to know what God wants me to do. The very first thing you need to do is get to know that book. Read that book and get in it every day of your life. And you know what? You'll learn a lot of those things. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, you ever walk in the dark? You usually run into something, right? You want the light on. And it says, it's a word is a lamp unto my feet. That shows you those next steps you need to take. And a light unto my path. It starts to show you the path down the road that you're going to take. But God's word helps us with that. And so get into God's word. And if God's word says it, it is settled. Okay? Follow that. That decision's been made for you. You just get on board with it. Next, get godly counsel on big decisions. Get godly counsel on big decisions. Too many people make big decisions that are going to alter their course, and they won't talk to anybody about it. Okay? You might want to get a spiritual perspective on that. A lot of times, you know why people don't want to ask? Anybody know why? They don't want to hear the word no.
Yeah, right.
Okay? This is just, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do. And maybe that's what God wants you to do. No problem. But I would find out. I wouldn't just do it because God wants me, because I always wanted to do it. And remember, we go back to that thing that, you know, we don't see everything. Well, maybe you're missing something. Maybe you're missing something. One thing I always admired about Pastor Esposito, whenever he certain decisions he would make in the church, you know, he would come and just, hey, what do you guys think about it? And he didn't want yes men. It's like, what do you think? You see anything there? Not everything. Some of the things was crystal clear to him. It's like, we're on. Let's do this. Like, let's do it. We're on. But there are some things, say, what do you think about that? Or you know, what this? And you know, maybe I was older one on the staff, but I just, you know, I'd tell him, I don't see that. And sometimes I'd say, you know, here's something I'm noticing. And sometimes he's like, well, here's blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. But he, you know, I want to hear everything. Am I missing something? Did I not see something there? But a lot of times we just want to do what we want to do. We want to make these big decisions, you know. Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, people just up at the drop of a hat and move somewhere, no good church there or some ridiculous thing. And by the way, parents, let me say this. Don't always be making the decision for your children what's going on in their life later. Well, you know, I know the career path I want for my son. Okay? Why not let God help with that? I don't want my children to do anything that I want them to do. You know, the rules I do. When it comes to our life, okay? I just want to follow what God wants. And by the way, let me say this, and we mention it periodically. It's about time we mention it again. Everybody that graduates, everybody graduates from high school ought to go to Bible college at least 1 year. I'm just telling you. You don't need to jump out right away. There's two reasons you ought to do that. Number one, you need to mature. Okay, you need a biblical foundation, and if you're not sure what God wants you to do, you should take that year to say, God, why don't you show me what you want me to do? And if God doesn't have, you think, well, we want everybody to be a missionary to Mars. No, we don't. You can't get there. Okay. I want my, I'll let my child do anything. You know, everybody wants to be a Russell Anderson. But no one wants to be, you know, a missionary to the other side of the world. Russell Anderson's a millionaire that gives money. I want to be a Russell Anderson so I could buy the building for you. I wish we had one or two or four. Boy, if we preach the message, we need a Russell Anderson, man, the altars would be full. God's calling me. I've seen his watch. It's like $20,000 watch. Okay? And guess what? It tells time. Okay? But he gives millions of dollars to ministries. Very generous man. But it's like, I don't want my child. God will put them in the place that is best for them. And if they're not suited for Christian service, full-time, God will put them somewhere where, by the way, I think they all are in Christian service, because whether or not you're getting paid for it, you ought to be serving the Lord in your local church, right? It doesn't hurt us. But take that year. If you're not quite sure, we call it the 13 year, and I think everybody ought to do that. And parents, let your children. Don't force them to do something else. And we beat that horse a little bit, so we're good. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and a multitude of counselors there is safety. Next. Don't follow your flesh, feelings, or individuals. Don't allow your flesh, feelings, or individuals to drive your decision. If you're feeling outside pressure to make some decision, it's okay to back away until that pressure's gone. That's why car salesmen are so effective. You're going to go there and you're going to look at a car and you want a model you can afford. And you know what they're going to show you? They're going to show you the car that, you know, drives itself and serves you dinner and all that stuff. They're going to give you the top of the line, because once you get in there, it's like, you know, well, this one doesn't have that stuff. But they're going to pray. And then, look, why don't we come in and talk about it? Like, I don't talk to those guys. Every car we buy, I know what I want ahead of time. I go to a couple dealers. I'll look at the car. That's the car I'm looking for. You have it. I'll show it. Like, oh, let's go in and talk. Say, we ain't talking. We're talking right here. I'm not buying right now. What's your best price? And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to three or four other places. I just have them battle each other. But you know what they do? They get you in the box. Would you like some water? They put pressure on you. By the way, your friends will put pressure on you sometimes to do it wrong. Don't follow it. Okay? Whatever. Maybe you're in an emotional time. Never make a decision when you're emotional. Never make a decision when you're emotional. Back off. Let the emotions calm down. You know, someone calls and says, you know, my husband and wife, we're fighting, and it's like, you know, it's like 11 at night. We're going to kill each other. I'm like, all right, listen, can you just stay in separate rooms tonight? All right, call me in the morning. We'll talk. Listen, in the morning, they're, oh, you know what? We talked. It's okay. It's past. The emotions were strong. And we make decisions like that sometimes. Next, try to determine where your path will lead you in the future. If you're not willing to sit down and at least think through, okay, what are the positives of this decision? And be honest. Why would I do this? You know, some people up and root themselves and move to another part of the country basically because they can make a few bucks more. Now, by the way, if God wants you to move to another part of the country and he's calling you there and there's a good church to be involved in and that's what God wants, have at it. But so often, that's not what we do. And we'll uproot our... I have talked to people from our church over the years. They've left and went to places, and they'll call and they'll say, there's really not a good church in this area. We have to drive like 45 miles, and we can't really be involved. It's like, you should have thought of that before you saw the prices of the house. Okay? But find out what God really wants you to do. And look at the... Why am I doing this? What are the positives of this decision? What are some possible consequences? And put that all together. And then get some counsel, pray about it. What does God want me to do? And do what God wants. But look to the future. Say, yeah, this would be a really positive thing for me, but it probably, you know, that probably wouldn't be the best for my children. Then don't do it. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do anything that wasn't good for my children. Even if I got a tenfold pay raise. Yep. I want to look at what could happen here. And then lastly, don't let pride creep in. Because this was a decision that seemeth right unto a man. You know, I got this covered. I'm good. Oh, no, I've done my homework. I don't need to talk to anybody. If you make a decision of something big and there's nothing anybody could show you that's right, not just their opinion, that could keep you from making that decision, you're already into it, it's probably the wrong decision. And you say, I think this is what God wants. What do you think? And if they point out some things, they may say, you know what? Do it. Just go do it. Okay? But I'm just saying, we follow our own way so often without thinking it through and taking a little bit of time. And if we're not careful, you could look back 5 years down the road and say, you know, that wasn't the right decision. But it's better to think about that ahead of time. All right, let's pray and we'll be in there.